As an entrepreneur and dream driver, I know how much heart goes into building a brand. That's why I love seeing small businesses have the opportunity to reach more people. Walmart helps customers discover products from thousands of small brands, each with a founder story built on passion, perseverance, innovation, and purpose. Learn more at walmart.com.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Belmer, Cam Smith, and Brian McDonald.
Go ahead, call the producers.
Quit it now!
Welcome back in. Hour number 2 of the bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5. Me, Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, to my right, John Belmer, behind the glass. About 57 minutes ago, as we hear, what the hell? Are they back moving again? So this happened on Thursday. I think it was Thursday. It might have been Friday. Where this loud banging kept... It was definitely Thursday. This loud banging kept happening above us. Now, only, like, I think 2 times is loud enough to be heard over air. The test for that was Jeremy Branham was remote that day. So when he heard it, we know everyone else could hear it.
Yep.
But, yeah, anyways, if you hear a loud banging at some point, it's not me throwing Cam through a table like I'm power bombing him as a member of the Shield. It's actually some people doing some moving.
Yeah, but that would be much more entertaining.
Yeah, like if I were to go full for Roman Reigns and Shield bomb Cam through this table here, I think that'd be pretty
sweet. We have great reviews on YouTube and Twitch.
Like, should we end the show with that?
I think so.
I think we should. Yeah, you know, we do our worst person sports this week, what we love from sports this week. I power bomb Cam through the table.
That would be pretty impressive because this seems like a really sturdy and thick table.
Yeah, yeah, no. I don't know if you have good, I don't know if you have enough meat on your bones for you to go through the table. I think you just land flat and hurt your back.
Great.
Like you don't have you won't get the give of the table breaking like
kind the
of
Buffalo like Bills fans.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're just going to land on one of these microphone stands and like really hurt yourself.
Well, good thing I'm.
And that'll be the last bullpen.
Good thing I'm fully insured for the next couple
of
months.
Yeah, that'll be a fun story to tell my wife. Why did you get fired? Well, so I powerbombed my coworker at the table, and it didn't give. So like,
but it was worth it.
Yeah, totally worth it. Totally worth it. I'll get another job for that. I don't care. All right, so we've spent a lot of the offseason with the Texans talking about the improvements, at least on paper, that they've made on the offensive line. That maybe more so the improvements we've hoped they've made. They've made changes. We hope they're improvements, right? Obviously signing Braden Smith from the Colts, who we think will be the starting right tackle. Bring in Wyatt Teller from the Browns, who is presumed to be the starting left guard. And then Keelan Rutledge, the first-round pick out of Georgia Tech. I think the Texans and fans hope will start at center, but he's never played there at a major level other than just playing there at the Senior Bowl and then practicing that as the emergency center at Georgia Tech. So there's certainly some question marks there. So because of those changes, I think a lot of fans, even though those guys' profiles more run blockers than pass blockers, have been pretty optimistic that the Texans' problems on the offensive line, although not, I don't think anyone's saying, oh, completely fixed, top 10 offensive line. No one's saying that. But there is definitely some hope and some optimism that what was like the weakest part of the team is now something that's good enough, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Warren Sharp put out his offensive line rankings and did not necessarily reflect that optimism that we have as fans. He has the Texans ranked 31st in the NFL, only ahead of the Miami Dolphins. So, Cam, have we been too optimistic about the Texans? How do you feel about this ranking from Warren Sharp?
I think it's both. I think a lot of his ranking is obviously based off of last year and then not knowing what you're going to get out of the rookie with Rutledge, and then also the veterans with Teller and Smith. So I think it's almost like the safer bet for him to say 31st with a lot of like hopes of like optimism, because that's how I kind of look at it. Like I thought 31st was like a little rough.
It feels like the downside, right? Like though everything goes wrong ranking.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, certainly possible, but...
It is, but, like, I don't at all think that they're going to finish close to 31st with offensive line rankings, but I can see, based off of last year, and then, like, the unknowns of basically 3 new starting offensive linemen on this team, like, I can see why they would be ranked 31st, but I have way more optimism that they're going to finish upper teens, lower 20s.
Is that... Okay, so you put their ceiling as upper teens?
I think, like 18, 19.
is their ceiling.
Is probably like their ceiling. Which, if that's the case.
No, I would take that right. Like, if you offer me, hey, they rake 18th at the end of the season, done. Sign me up for it. Sight unseen. I don't want to take the risk of the unknown compared to just taking that. But I think you're right in your assessment there. Like, he's looking at it from, you know, and look, we all know these things to be true. I think as fans, though, we just usually choose to take the optimistic side of things. But he's probably looking at, you know, Wyatt Teller let go from the Browns. His best days are behind him, right? He's an older offensive lineman. He's not in his prime. I mean, obviously the Texans think he has stuff, you know, he's got gas left in the tank, but we'll see on there. He's looking at Keelan Rutledge, as we mentioned earlier in the segment, never having played center at a major level. He's looking at, Ed Ingram not being a very good pass blocker. Arianti Erstery with an up-and-down rookie season, although I'm fairly optimistic with him. And then Braden Smith, you might make the same Wyatt Teller argument with him if he's past his prime. But, look, I get that, but, like, are the guys – they're projected to start on the offensive line overall more skilled than the five they started last year? I would say yes. And that's why I have a problem with the 31. Now, that's not to say that, oh, they're going to be 30, you know, 20 spots better. They're going to be a top 10, you know, offensive line. I don't agree with that. I agree with your, like, you know, 18th is probably the ceiling. I agree with that take. But, like, I don't see a world where they're 31st unless literally everything goes wrong. Because, I mean, you also have to factor in, not only did they add three new starters, but we presume Arianti Erstery will take at least a little bit of a sophomore, you know, like he's going to get better in year two than year one. The thing I am worried about is, like, I think their overall talent's improved. I think they're probably, unless everything goes wrong, like somewhere between 20 and 25, which... is that good enough? You know, we'll see. Probably not to get to a Super Bowl, but I think it's good enough to still get them in the playoffs and win a round, which is that enough for you, considering that's what they always do. But where I do have concern, though, is all these guys we've talked about, Wyatt Teller, Braden Smith, Keelan Rutledge, the additions, add into that Ed Ingram, who's still there at right guard. They all profile as plus run blockers, mid to below average pass blockers. And what does this whole season revolve around? C.J. Stroud getting back to his rookie form. Well, if he's grouped with, I mean, we hope Arianti Erstery becomes a dude there at left tackle. And even if he does, but if the other five, or the other four, that is, are all mid to minus pass blockers, that's a big problem.
It is, but maybe their hopes are C.J. can overcome that with the fact that if this team is a big upgrade in the run blocking, with the addition of David Montgomery, it'll still take some pressure off.
You run to set up the pass. You're in third and three instead of third and seven, for sure. There's definitely things there.
Because wasn't it last year where they literally had the worst ranked run?
Oh, they were run definitely blocking? I don't know overall, but they were the worst team in the red zone. Like, they couldn't run it in from the one.
By far the worst team
in the
red zone.
Yeah, they couldn't run in from the one. And now you got three guys that profile as masters in the run game on the offensive line. Like you said, add David Montgomery, who's been a good goal line back. I do think they'll be able to run the ball more. So you're right. Like, even if they're worse pass blocking, the improvement in the running game, because I think it was the Rams game in particular, which was first game of the season, but this held true all year. Like, every single third down you looked at, it was 3rd and 11, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 7. Like, they were never ahead of the chains. You would hope with a better run game that not only are they able to score in the red zone when they get there, but CJ is in more 3rd and 5 or less.
Yeah, and like, I know I make a lot of like, I don't make a lot of comparisons to the Chargers, but for example, Chargers had the worst pass blocking offensive line last year, and arguably
the injuries,
in the history. But Herbert was still able to put up decent numbers because the run blocking was decent enough to where Kamani Vidal, and when Hampton was healthy, could still put up decent numbers to still have the defense be like, okay, we can't just do this against Herbert. Because
you can't pin back your ears.
So hopefully that's what happens with the Texans. Even if all their offensive linemen are now better at run blocking and have taken a step back in the pass blocking, if they can get the run game going, then that should still help out CJ. Hopefully, help out CJ. But
one would hope. Because, yeah, if we don't see an improvement, I mean, I don't know what they do. I mean, they'll face an unbelievable dilemma if he doesn't take a step forward. Let's quickly, I want to pay off on this tease. So I had this thought the other day. Like, the team in the NFL, you're most like, what in the world are they going to be? Like, could they make the playoffs? Yes. Could they win four games? Equally, yes, right? Like, you see just a massive window with their floor and their ceiling. To me, that's the New York Giants. Like, they have potentially a lot of talent on offense. We know their defense is pretty good. They brought in a proven winner at coach with John Harbaugh. Like, you could sell me on the fact that Jackson Dart in year two, Malik Nabers, if his knee is healthy, and Cam Scataboo on top of they brought in Isaiah Likely from the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Like, you could sell me on that core of players being a really good team that wins 9-10 games and sneaks into the playoffs. You can also sell me that they win four games because Jackson Dart can't stay out of the blue tent because Cam Scataboo isn't right, because Malik Nabers isn't right, you know, and things just never click for them on offense. I guess, one, do you agree with that, and who would your team be, Cam?
I mean, I do agree with that, because with that one, you have to respect the coach that they got. Two, like you said, there is a lot of offensive talent, but there's a lot of ifs, like if they stay healthy, if this guy stays healthy. So I definitely agree with that. And then I think for me, like, the first team that kind of initially jumped out to me was the Colts.
Oh, yeah. That's
just
a good
based
call.
On the fact that
they started year 7-1.
They were the number
year.
One seed.
I know.
And then ended up not even making the playoffs. I mean, yeah, Daniel Jones got hurt. Some other guys got hurt, but it's also like
7-1 to 8-9.
Yeah.
That was their year.
They lost Michael Pittman.
Yeah.
So I know they gave a lot of money to, like, Alec Pierce, hoping that he's going to turn into that dude, which I think that he can, but that's a team for me where...
Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, yeah, he was a great year last year, 1,000 yards, but like, he's never been the target hog type of receiver. He's just been, like, the deep threat. Like, can he transition into being, like, the go-to guy in an offense? I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, because...
I would buy more stock, like, if we're talking fantasy, I would buy more stock at Tyler Warren, and I wouldn't mind taking shots at Josh Downs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, on a fantasy basis, yeah, I'd much rather take a risk with Warren and Downs than Pierce. But yeah, the Colts are one of those teams where I feel like they have enough around them to where they not start off 7-1 or 8-2, whatever it was last year. But I definitely feel like this is a team that if everybody stays healthy and Daniel Jones plays remotely close to how he played last year, which was kind of the reverse Daniel Jones we've seen. Like, last year, he was throwing the ball lights out, and he wasn't really running it, which is what we saw him do in New York. But I definitely think that's a team that could easily win 9 games, but could also plummet and drop back to earth and win 3-4 games.
Yeah, for sure. That would be the end of Shane Steichen. John, do you have one for us?
Yeah, two quick ones popped immediately. The Washington Commanders.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, Jaden Daniels.
I'm more on the floor side of that one. But
yes,
but
there's potential there. And then the one that I like the most out of this is the Vikings. A huge upgrade to me on the quarterback side, even though Kyler Murray is not, you know. But I think he's a huge upgrade over what they had. And they have a really good defense. I think that team could take leaps, or they're the Vikings. They could just be awful, too. So
I hear what you're saying. Like, the logic is there. The only problem is, like, they won 9 games last year with J.J. McCarthy and Max Brosmer. Like, even if Kyler sucks, he can't be worse than J.J. McCarthy and Max Brosmer, right?
Exactly.
You think? Right?
I mean,
I think so.
Yeah, but they overachieved.
They probably did.
Last
year. You know one crazy stat? That entire division last year, AFC or NFC North, had a winning record.
Yeah. But some of those teams, like, took a step back. Like, I didn't expect Detroit to be 9-8.
Yeah, I still think they're trending down, but that's a whole nother conversation. All right, let's get out here on the other side of the break. Max or Mount Rushmore Plus One coming up at 10:30. But next on the other side of the break, we got to talk about the Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce, more so the Taylor Swift side. These fans are going crazy, and then Argentina had a comeback for the ages. We'll talk about that and more when we get back here in the bullpen. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer with you here until 11 o'clock. Be right back.
ESPN.
97.5.
You're
listening to The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Belmer, Cam Smith, and Brian McDonald.
That is right. Brian McDonald, Cam Smith, John Belmer with you here on The Bullpen, ESPN Radio 97.5. And this is the time of the show that we hand it over to Johnny Belmer behind the glass, see what's on his mind this week. And John, it looks like this first one is Taylor Swift related. What we got going on here?
Yeah, I can't tell you how tired I am of hearing about this wedding, but
what, you didn't get an invite?
No, well,
didn't everybody in the world get an invite?
Aren't you a Swiftie?
No. But
if you want a fun time, go through all the invites. Like, there's places out there that have, like, the invites. It's like A-list celebrity, random Kansas City Chief wide receiver like Marquez Valdez-Scantling, A-list celebrity, Skylar Moore. Yeah, exactly. It's just like random Chief that you haven't heard of in 3 years. Yeah,
yeah, anyway. But don't tell me if you got an invite, you weren't going to be the first person there. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a gentleman in New York City here who's been collecting trash in New York City and selling it for years, since 2001, matter of fact. But he took advantage of this wedding happening at MSG and went around and got all the trash from around the stadium that was there during when the wedding happened. And then he started selling these little pods of the trash online. He sold 1,300 of them at $25 a pop plus $10 in shipping. That's like $33,000. He sold out immediately. This is insane. Some of the trash cubes.
Kudos to him.
Yes, kudos to him.
I mean, seriously, Shark Tank. Hey,
my pitch is I will pick up trash for 30. Sorry, John.
I like that pitch though. I mean, if you go around and do it, we're going to talk about that in a moment here because we're going to figure out how we can get involved. But some of these pods had cigarettes in them, cigarette butts. Like ovulation things. Oh. It was disgusting, but it's Taylor adjacent trash is what they call it. So these people are spending.
Is that what he's calling it?
That's the term. Yes. Wow. So my thought was, as a show, we need to look at Toyota Center and some of these other places around here and see, when the next Beyonce concert is who we can get
trash.
And we'll just go get the trash. Yeah. And start potting it up $25 a piece. We can make some bank here.
Yeah. Joe was telling a story about, related to this, where I think it was after the Cubs World Series in 2016, people were selling like bags of ice they were claiming were in the dugout for the celebration.
Yeah.
Maybe we just literally let's go to Sonic, get some ice, go to Whataburger, I don't care. Whoever's willing to sponsor, hey, we'll go 50-50. If this is Shark Tank, we'll go 50-50.
You remember the guy selling the bag of air from Kobe's last game?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
I mean,
they're back in the day. You remember Luis Gonzalez that played for the Astros, more famously played for the Diamondbacks, yeah. But he spit out a piece of gum, someone picked it up and sold it for like a bunch of money. He was an MVP.
Why not?
Yeah, so, yeah, maybe we should. Maybe we should start a little Toyota Center Adjacent Trash LLC with the three of us. We can bring in Sean Mapes if he wants to be in on it. Maybe we'll make him do the hard work for taking the summer off.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. Make some money.
I like
time.
That idea.
How much was he charging for these bags?
So $25 for a little pod of trash. I don't know how big it was.
You said he made how much money?
So there was 1,300 pods. And he sold out almost immediately at $25 a piece, plus $10 in shipping. Wow. If you take out the shipping, it's almost $33,000 just picked up out of the air. I mean, it's pretty awesome.
It's amazing.
It really is.
What we do in this country. All right, what else you got for us, Johnny?
I mean,
you got something, Cam?
I have no words.
Would you buy a Selena trash pod if she were still with us?
Oh, good call.
Because I think Cam would.
I mean,
yeah, I saw the look in his eye. He would. He would buy it.
I need to know. But that
does that have to actually been touched by, in your case, Selena?
Yes.
Okay, so if it's just trash from around the,
especially since it's been so long, it's like, okay, how do you really verify that this trash is related to her? Like, I would need. I would need.
You need like video proof,
exactly.
But he would do the work, though. He'd do the work to find out.
I mean, hell, people buy. This is getting a little gross here, but people will buy like women's bathwater And much more. So, like, there would definitely be a market for that if Selena were still with us.
Yes, there would. I can't say I would go to that extreme of buying stuff.
You're thinking about it right now, though.
I mean,
is there anybody that you would buy the trash for, P-Mac?
No. No. Because I'm not even like a collector's guy on like normal stuff.
A wrestler?
No.
No.
Maybe The Undertaker. No. But like, I'm not even a collector of like normal stuff, like autographs or like, you know, especially in this business, there's a bunch of people that have like photos with everyone that's ever come through the studio. I've got a photo with like two people in like the 15 years I've been in radio. Like, and one of those was Major Applewhite, because I loved him at the University of Texas. And we had him at Radio Row when I was still working at Sports Radio 610 when the Super Bowl was last year in 2017. But yeah, I've just never been a memorabilia guy to begin with, so yeah. I can never see myself going the extra step of like the trash memorabilia.
Well, the next time Brad and Booker are in the studio, bring Booker some water and one of these styrofoam cups.
Just keep it.
We'll put it in a bag.
The problem is they never do the show in the studio.
Every once in a while, they're up here.
When they do, we're just here. Like, hey, Booker, would you like? Eventually, he's going to like, I can't drink 10 cups of water during the show, guys. Like,
his hand ever on this desk?
Well, of course it was.
Oh, yeah. Cut out a piece
of the table and be like, Booker's hand was
just
here.
Just like draw out a handprint and carve it out.
Yeah.
Booker's John and Lance, there's no table when they come back on Monday.
just handprint, cut it out of the table. That's what we should start doing. Just find things around the office that Booker T might have touched and go ahead and sell it.
Yep.
There's a pretty decent chance he's touched most of the things in here.
Yeah,
the microphone, sell that.
Bag up some of the air he's breathed in.
Yeah, he sat in one of those chairs out there.
Take off the door handle. He's probably touched the door handle. I think we got a business.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, Booker T Adjacent Trash LLC. That's what we'll start here. All right, John, we got time for one more. What do you got for us?
Yeah, quick one. I seen this week Tom Brady said that it looks like Messi might have had the best comeback ever.
Yeah.
So I wanted to throw this question at you guys. It was a World Cup 16 round, so it wasn't a final or anything. But Messi and Argentina come back down 2-0 with 13 minutes left in the game. Score 3 goals. 2-0. Sorry.
2-0, you noob.
My bad.
Come on.
Getting corrected by the wrestling guy. Okay.
Low moment for you.
Yeah, for sure. But scoring 3 goals in 13 minutes to win and extend their World Cup trip here, or 28-3. Which is the bigger comeback?
That is tough, because I believe the first goal that Argentina scored after being down 2-0 was like the 76th minute or something. And they go obviously 90 plus stoppage time. But it's messy. They're big favorites, right? Like Egypt's obviously a good team. They made it to the knockout round. They're not a bad team. But, I mean, it's kind of what Argentina should have done. Whereas on the Falcons side, I guess if you were like Falcons and Patriots, like, all they had to do was run the ball. And so instead of when they tried to pass the ball to Julio and took the sack, knocked him out of field goal range. So it's both kind of feels like both teams that won with the comeback should have won anyway. So that's, I guess that factor is out. I guess I'll go Argentina, but just because goals are so, you know, obviously less frequent than, like, scoring is less frequent in soccer than it is in football. And Tom Brady is just Tom Brady. We all kind of expected him to do something. I guess I would go with Argentina and Messi as the more impressive comeback. Just because they literally had, depending on how much stoppage time was added, like 20 minutes left to do it.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of soccer games that go the full time with only 3 goals scored combined. And they did 3 in like
13 minutes.
13 minutes, he said. Yeah.
Crazy.
So I would go with that one.
Cam?
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that one too.
Wow, I'm surprised.
Yeah. Are you on the football?
I am on the football. I think they're both impressive. I think it's really close, but it's a Super Bowl.
You can talk me into either one.
If it happens in the final to win the World Cup, I'm there all the way.
Okay, so you're factoring in the magnitude then.
The magnitude.
I was just thinking about probability.
It's more probable for 28-3 to happen. But the stage and the pressure, I think, of the Super Bowl gives it the edge for
me. That's fair. If you're talking magnitude, for sure, it's definitely Brady in the Patriots. But, man, I had money on the Falcons that day, too.
Yeah.
That sucked. I had money. Man, when it was 28-3, I had cashed that in my head. I was like, all right, what am I going to use this money on? Nope.
Did the same
thing. Did that happen? Oh. Did you really?
I remember exactly where I was at and what I was doing.
I was at my aunt's house watching, bragging, like, yeah, got money on this game. I really know ball, huh?
Oh, I was.
Nope. I don't.
I was selling tacos and racking up a bar bill, and I was like, ha, bar bill. I'm about to get my money back. Nope.
Thanks to Kyle Shanahan for calling that pass play for somebody. Just run the ball, Kyle. There's a couple Super Bowls like that. Hello, Marshawn Lynch. All right, we got to get it out here. On the other side of the break, it's time for Mount Rushmore Plus One. John, Brian, and Cam with you here. We'll be right back.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5. Throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore Plus One.
Welcome into the best part of your weekend. Welcome into Mount Rushmore Plus One, the game-changing, award-winning segment that has forever changed the sports radio landscape in Houston, in Texas, in America, nay, worldwide. And we'll get John, Cam, myself, Sean Mapes, Joe George, Andrew Carlson, RJ Saunders, Josh Chavans, and countless others into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame, and far less.
Shut up, you stupid ass. Shut up, you dummy.
And far less than that dummy, John and Lance on the clip, took to get into the Hall of Fame. 27 years those bums took to get into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. We'll be in half that time.
Yeah, we got it.
Because of Mount Rushmore Plus One. And also, we won't be in this business in 13 years, so we won't have to be held accountable for it.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. All right. I'm just saying, odds are, we know how this business goes.
I got mouths to feed.
No, you don't.
I know.
You got no kids. I got a kid. What are you talking about? All right, Mount Rushmore Plus One the time. Anybody want to lead off? Anybody raise a hand? All right, looks like Cam's going first here. Or what do you got, Cam?
Cool beans.
Cam's excited to go first.
So mine is in honor of this last weekend.
July 4th?
Not so much July 4th. Sure, that was mixed into it. My sister
Cam Smith, not patriotic.
Well, my sister right below me got engaged, and thank you. Yeah, and her fiance, their side of the family is pretty big into hunting, and he brought along a lot of Nilgai, which I don't know if anybody has ever had Nilgai before.
Well, no, I don't know what that is.
I believe it's similar to like an antelope. But it's a pretty like common thing found in the southern states, specifically like Texas, because I think originally they were from like Africa, so it's similar climate for them. But that was the first time I had Nilgai, and it might have been the most amazing sausage, jalapeno, and cheese I've ever had in my entire life. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So I chose to do odd but tasty meat. I wanted to say exotic, but some of these aren't.
Johnny, can I request, please, just clip Cam saying, what was that, Cam, again?
Odd but tasty meat.
Yeah, please clip that. Okay, we need that as a drop.
So, as previously mentioned, Nilgai. So I have Nilgai up there.
It sounds like you're saying someone's name.
These could all be somebody's. Well, no, not some of these. Some of these could be
Nilgai.
Nilgai, yeah. So
that's like an antelope adjacent animal.
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Makes a really good sausage.
This segment brought to you by PETA.
I mean, oh yeah, they're not gonna like it.
It stands for people eating tasty animals, so we're okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. It's not like I'm throwing John
was aghast. His mouth dropped open.
I just never heard that before.
Shout out to Jim Gaffigan. That's a Jim Gaffigan joke. Shout out to Jim Gaffigan.
This one's a little more common, but a lot of people don't like it. I, however, love it. Langua, cow's tongue.
Okay.
I'm a big cow tongue guy.
I think I had that once because this breakfast taco shop I went to where I get barbacoa was out, and I was like, well, what tastes similar to barbacoa. Like they pointed me to the cow stuff.
Yeah, it's very similar.
It was pretty good.
Some people get freaked out by like the texture. I don't.
I definitely want to. I don't want to see the before pictures. Oh. Just give me the after.
Yeah. No. No. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just give me the after.
I'm just good with the food. Alligator.
Okay. I see. I've never had. I've had fried alligator as like a kind of like a nugget, mm-hmm. but I've never had it like what you were saying, like as a like a like a like a like a spicy one, like a sausage. Is that how you're? What, is that what this list is? Things that make a tasty sausage?
No, Neil guy in the form that I had was in a form of sausage.
Tasty sausage, yeah. But these are just otherwise tasty meats.
But most alligator I've had has been also fried. But yeah.
It's not bad.
I really enjoy it. Again, not exotic, but I also don't think too many people eat this. I love duck.
Yeah, we'll call that exotic.
I love duck though.
It is a wild game, but I wouldn't call it exotic.
It's just not. I guess it's just not common to like see on menus.
Not at an average sit down restaurant.
Yeah, almost kind of like quail. Like,
yeah,
quail's common, but it's not really common at the same time. And then the last one is axis deer.
Okay, so how does that taste? Like, because I've had venison. Yeah, I've had venison, but what's the difference here between with regular venison and that type of deer?
Axis is like a little less gamey.
Okay.
And a little more tender, and just like you can almost cook it like a filet mignon. It's also very like lean. It's very like I think it's a pretty like expensive like meat to acquire.
How is that different from regular deer meat?
Axis deer?
Yeah.
That's a little above my knowledge of food. Gotcha. I just know that when you're talking deer. When Axis is thrown out, Axis is like the elite of...
Like Wagyu kind
of thing. It's basically like the Wagyu of deer. Yeah. that's a great example.
That's a funny
one.
The Wagyu of deer.
Yeah.
I mean, we should make t-shirts for the show, and that'll be one of them. The Wagyu of deer.
The other t-shirt would be, what do you call yourself? The Jason Statham of Houston Sports Radio?
Oh, yeah. I'm the Jason Statham of Sports Radio. Houston Sports Radio, for sure.
Yeah.
new movie coming out next month, Mutiny. Should we go together as a show?
Are we going at 10 o'clock in the morning?
No, I mean, because we're on. We could go at 11:30. I can still get my AM, but it's a little closer
to... Post-show movie?
You know, that's crazy. The last movie I saw was at 11:30.
Boom. I think PM. We got to go as a show.
PM.
Oh, PM? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I saw back
you're
door.
Kill me.
I'd be sleeping in the theater.
Yeah, you're going to... I did see... The last movie I saw that was super late was the... It was like a midnight release of It 2. So that was, I don't know, like 2019 maybe-ish, but that's definitely the last for me. All right, my Mount Rushmore plus one. This came up kind of in passing, just people being like happy with the World Cup game times. Like, oh, it's cool that I can, you know, watch the triple headers on during the middle of the day instead of everything being at night like it normally is. So I decided to come up with a Mount Rushmore plus one. And there is an opposite of this that I'll probably do next week. But a Mount Rushmore plus one of the best game times. Like, we all have our own preferences where you look at the schedule like, oh, you're either excited or you're less excited because of when the game starts. So these are the best times. First one, for me, this is almost a shout out to when we've been at Le Bourge. But I love the West Coast college football 10 o'clock start. Like, we've been out, you know, at the casino. We've been having fun, having drinks. I roll back to the hotel a little before midnight, and there's still a college football game going on in the second half. Like, all right, baby, we're late third quarter. I can see the finish of this game while I'm recovering from, like, the 8 margaritas that I had. So I love the West Coast college football start.
Yeah, I think the last time I was there, the same thing happened. I was still sitting.
Show me the BYU game. Let's roll.
Yeah, it was like, I think actually Gio came with me. But it's like me and him were the only two, like, at the bar watching some random, like, Colorado State versus like Idaho game.
Exactly.
And it's like 11:17
at night.
That's
a big rivalry game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a big rivalry game. Next one, just 7 o'clock, right on the dot. Like, I think that's the perfect, you know, we get off work, we got the time to you know, get home, get through traffic, pick up some food, and boom, the game starts as soon as you walk through the door. So 7 o'clock is a solid start time. Next one on my Mount Rushmore plus one of best game times, that 2:30 college football kickoff. I think that's the perfect spot. I hate the 11 a.m. That's a spoiler for next week. Sometimes, you know, the night games can run a little long, but that 2:30 window, you know, you can go out and do stuff in the morning. It's over before you want to have dinner. I think 2:30 on a Saturday is a perfect time for that big college football game.
Especially back in the day when you couldn't even get alcohol before noon o'clock.
Yeah. Well, that, I think
noon o'clock before noon. O'clock. Noon.
I think that's a Sunday thing, though. Not a Saturday thing.
Was it not a Saturday
thing? No, I don't think so. I think it's just a Sunday. The blue laws you're referring to, which have been relaxed now. Because it used to be like you couldn't get it before noon. Now it's you can't like get 10.
Now it's like 10.
Yeah, it's like 10.
Oh, that's weird. For some reason.
But it wasn't for Saturdays. It was for Sundays.
Well, okay. Well, that makes it a little better. But still, 11 o'clock, you're just like, you're still waking up.
Yeah.
Slowly,
well, not
like,
me. I'm
moving.
Old. But yeah, but no. In general, yeah. People. Not me, but people.
I was up at 4 o'clock.
Two more. Mount Rushmore plus one of best game times. I love that the time Monday Night Football starts. It's like 7:25, 7:30-ish. It just, I don't know, it just feels right. Like, I like it less for, because Sunday Night Football also starts at basically the same time, but I like it less for Sunday Night Football because, like, those games are over at 6, and now you got to just wait. And I don't want to watch the, you know, their preview show because I just saw these games, right? Yeah. I just saw these games. I don't need to see the highlights from them. Just get to the football. But that Monday night starts at 7:30, leaving a little more time to get home, you know, say hello to the wife and kids, eat dinner, whatever, and then boom, the game starts.
And the game takes you right to bed. Like,
yeah,
right to bed.
Yeah. Basically, you know, yeah. I think that's a great, great one. And the best game time. On my Mount Rushmore plus one of best game times. Noon on Sunday for the NFL. It's perfect. It's perfect. Like, you get up, you have time to have breakfast, you know, maybe go out. If you're going to church, you have time to go to church. It's over at 3 o'clock, so you got the rest of the day to go out and do stuff with the family. You know, you got the wife and kids. Hey, let's go do something. 3 o'clock. I'll see you at 3 o'clock. It's a perfect, like, in there where you can still, you know, feel like you're a good family man in the morning, and you got plenty of time to do stuff after the game's over.
I would totally agree with that. I would get so frustrated when Charger games would be at like 3:30.
Yeah, you're going to get more of those as a West Coast team.
Yeah, because if my team plays at 12, then that means by 3:30, run an errand or two, go home, and just relax for the busy work week. But
whereas, like, when they have that like, so the Cowboys get a lot of those 3:25 starts.
Yeah.
You're not – sometimes those games aren't ending until almost 7.
Yeah.
And then, like, if you're out, like, you watch it at a Chargers bar. Like, in that case, you're not maybe getting home till like 7:30, 8 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. Because,
the day's over.
Yeah. I'm tired.
Yeah.
And then I still have to get, like, dinner ready, but it's, like, a weird dinner time. And it's just, like, 12 o'clock for sure.
12 o'clock for sure. All right, Johnny, what is your Mount Rushmore plus
one? By the way, I like the 12 o'clock, but I just prefer primetime games so much more.
That's fine.
To the 12 slot, but I do.
But like, I am an old man, slot, so give me noon. Let's get it over with.
Fair.
Plus, like, I don't want to have to wait, like, that whole wait all, like it says in the song, wait all day for Sunday night. No, man. I've been stressing out about this game. Let's roll. Let's get it over with.
Let's do it. Yeah, but you got Red Zone to keep you.
That's true.
Keep
you
company. My Mount Rushmore plus one is inspired by the return tonight of the notorious Conor McGregor. Coming back to the UFC. Now, for the record, before I get into this, he's going to get his butt kicked. Yeah, he's going to get... I don't see a world where he's not dead tired in the third round. He hadn't fought in 5 years. But with that being said, the real star of the show are the press conferences and things like that. So my Mount Rushmore this week to welcome McGregor back to the fold is my Mount Rushmore plus one of my favorite McGregor quotes.
Yes.
It's on the list. Yeah, it's
this
ready.
Real life quotes or possible
as opposed to fake quotes?
Well, yeah. Some of his dumb quotes that he had in the movie with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not going down that route. No, but number five is kind of long, so I'll dive into it here. He said, I'm going to toy with this man. I will rearrange his facial structure. His wife and kids won't recognize him again. His friends will know he's not the same after this contest. You're never, ever going to be the same. Your kids are going to beg, Daddy, please don't go again.
Wow. Who is he talking about?
I don't actually know.
Because I'm kind of curious. Like, did he
He's talking to a heckler on the street.
Yeah. No. He was,
did he come through?
Yeah, I think he did win. Now, this quote specifically I found sideways, and I should have put who they were towards, and I didn't. But the quote was so savage, it made my list, because when you reference that, hey, your kids are going to beg you to never go in again because I'm going to whoop you that bad, I'm on your side.
Good.
That's great trash talk. Number four, the only approach I changed is I dug the grave a little wider, a little bit longer for Nate's skinny, fat, long body. Obviously, you could tell who he's fighting in this. In this one here, Nate's skinny, fat, long body. That is actually a really good description.
Skinny
of
fat?
Nate. Skinny, fat, long body. Yeah. That is right on the money. Number three is a little blasphemous, but we're going to roll with it. Me and Jesus are cool. I'm cool with all the gods. Gods recognize gods.
You know what? That's the best one so far.
I agree.
That's a pretty
good one. Gods recognize gods is a shirt.
That's
quote.
A pretty badass line.
Wow.
I know. The banging upstairs is...
It sounds like thunder.
It does.
It's really getting...
It does.
God is not happy
Maybe
by
it's
that quote.
Maybe he has his skinny, fat body jumping all around.
There you go. And number four, I think B-Mac referenced it. We all know the...
Who the f*** is that guy?
That Perfect. One makes the list. But it's not number one.
Not number one?
It's not number one. And I think you'll
That's
recognize...
number one in my heart. Well, actually, no. That last one about the gods was my number one.
Yeah. You'll recognize number one, though, too. It's just as famous as number two. But I like it better. Just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I'd like to apologize to absolutely nobody.
Yeah.
Number one quote from Conor McGregor.
So how long do you think this fight goes tonight?
I think it's done round two. If he makes it to round three, I think it's just going to be two guys huffing and puffing in the middle of the
octagon. Who's he fighting?
Octagon. Max Holloway.
So you think Holloway by stoppage?
I think Holloway by stoppage in round two.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I might check that out because, I mean, if you have Paramount Plus, it's no extra cost. Might as well. And I am excited that now that Paramount Plus, because of Dana White's new boxing promotion, is going to have some big names there. I believe they just signed Shakur Stevenson, so that'll be pretty good as well for you boxing fans. All right, it's time to finish up with our worst in our loves. First, the people we deem the worst people in sports this week. My worst person in sports this week is Carly Lloyd, the former women's national soccer team player, for her comments that maybe didn't age well about Christian Pulisic. So she, not that she was alone in this, but was pretty critical of Christian Pulisic's World Cup. We all know he left the first game early with an injury, missed their second game against Australia, then came in late in the game against Turkey, and then left the final game against Belgium, that 4-1 loss, that miserable experience. He left that game early with another injury. But Carly Lloyd called him out basically for his leadership being soft. The first quote, probably not as worse as the second one I'll read, but the quote from Carly Lloyd, "You wanted some of the big-time players to step up in big moments, and I've got to be honest, I was a bit disappointed in Christian Pulisic. I think whether he wants to be the star of this team or not, we didn't see enough from him in this particular game and really the whole World Cup." I think she was fine there. I think she was fine there. Her follow-up, though, because Christian Pulisic probably, poor choice of words, said, I can rest now in regards to the World Cup being over. Poor choice of words, admittedly. But Carly Lloyd's tweet, "You rest when your playing career is over, period." Well, it turns out Christian Pulisic is actually legit injured. He had, what was it, you might know this off the top, where was it here? The injury, sorry, I'm not having to scroll. Oh, he sustained a bone bruise and a microfracture in his tibia fibula of his right leg.
That's real.
That's a real injury. So the whole idea of rest when your career is over is like he was actually legit hurt. Like I get he was disappointing, and 4-1 was massively disappointing because it kind of felt like, to localize it, same old Texans. But he was legit hurt. So let's settle down a little bit. Cam, who's your worst person in sports?
Initially, I was going to go that route, but then I thought, you know what? What was more disappointing this week? I'm going to have to say the men's team.
The men's team as a whole?
Yeah, the men's team as a whole. I mean,
I guess you could say that what Matt Freese, the goalie, like, what in the world was he doing?
Yeah.
What in the world was he doing?
That's embarrassing.
That was embarrassing. That's Little League stuff.
It was. And, like, I was working at the bar. It was packed with fans. They were all so excited. And within, like, 20 minutes of the game starting,
the first goal, I think, was only 9 minutes in.
Yeah. And, like, I didn't have them beating Belgium. I thought it was going to be, like, 2-1. But just for the fact that, one, you got your guy back. Two, you lost by 3 goals. And three, you were the last host team standing, and you went out on a performance like that. Like, granted...
The last host thing's kind of a technicality, just because Mexico and Canada had played earlier in that round. It's the same round.
It would have been nice, but at the same time, it's one of those things where I did say I bet that they were only going to get to where they actually ended up. But seeing them in the World Cup, I thought that there was more promise. So to go out on a 4-1 loss was just, I guess it's not the worst sports. It was just the most disappointing thing
for
me.
Yeah, for sure. John, your worst person
in
sports?
Yeah, it was really disappointing. My worst person in sports is more of an idea, sort of, but it also is Conor McGregor related, yeah. Conor McGregor said no whoopee before whooping ass. Like, he's not having sex before the fights. And I got to say, I disagree with this sentiment. Like, I just...
Women weaken the legs, rock.
Man, I'm telling you, I've never, had...
Never had sex?
Yes. Okay. Okay, Brian. We all know you have. You got
boom,
a, you
shakalaka.
Got a daughter,
at least once, right?
At least once.
Yeah.
But I disagree with the idea that, like, I've never had sex and not felt like a different man, like a new man. Like, you got some confidence, you're boosted, you know? Sure. I feel like that would help. And I'm just saying, I disagree with that. That's
women,
my worst.
Women weaken legs, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
No, you're. It is a pretty well talked thing that before a fight or a match or a sporting event you're supposed to
you want to be pent up, all pent up and angry,
yeah,
versus like relaxed and happy.
There
I
you
guess
go.
Is the
and
idea.
Then and then huh. After you're done, you can unleash all hell on your
you can unleash all hell. Careful, let's tiptoe here, but yes, you can unleash on all hell. All right, let's quickly. Make sure we get paid. Hey, we're in an earlier time slot. Let's keep it clean. Let's move to the things we love from sports this week. It's time to stop swimming with the anger sharks. Deep breath. Let's go ahead and doggy paddle over the sea tranquilly. Talk about what we love from sports this week. One of the things I love from sports this week, a former Savannah Banana by the name of Tristan Peters, who's now playing for the Chicago White Sox, hit for a cycle last night. Let's hear it.
I mean, I got off to a tough start. And then,
oh, wrong one, Johnny. The highlight from Tristan Peters. Oh, we don't have that one? Okay, that's all right. So we'll move. So anyway, that's one of the things I loved last night. He hit for the cycle. Just crazy that we've seen, you know, we've all seen the videos of the Savannah Bananas dancing between pitches. And now you got one of the former players up in the majors hitting for a cycle, which is one of the more rare things, like even more rare than a no-hitter, one of the more rare things in sports.
And for the White Sox of all teams who were abysmal. I know this year, but I'm saying like last year they were terrible, abysmal.
And it's they were like Rockies level bad last year. All right, other thing I love from sports this week. So the Red Sox had like a big delay before taking a flight, and one of their pitchers, Peyton Toll, was like killing time, waiting for the plane to take off, and looking for some protein to eat in the plate on the plane, and didn't find the protein, but he did find this.
I had like 5 donuts this morning. That's all they had. I was like, we got any protein? Not right now. We got donuts for you. So that's right up my alley, though, so I don't mind. What kind of donuts? I had one glaze. There's a couple with like the Oreo sprinkles with a chocolate filling in the middle.
It's kind of protein.
Sure. But it was we ended up delayed enough to where we got some sausage, egg and cheese, bacon, egg and cheese, burritos, some chicken. So we got what we need.
Yeah, so I love this. Like, yeah, well, I need some protein, so 5 donuts I guess will do. And then he's still, you know, after eating, I've never eaten 5 donuts. Well, let me rephrase that since I've eaten 5 donuts. Mm-hmm. I've never eaten 5 donuts and then wanted to eat more. Because donuts are one of those things that just like weigh on you and like in your
they're
stomach.
Heavy.
Yeah, it sits heavy in your stomach.
Yeah, his 5 donuts were my 5 kolaches yesterday morning.
Like, no, kolaches I could eat 5 and feel fine. Speaking for myself, I've never eaten like, even, unless I stop at 2, like if I get to 3 donuts or more, like I feel bad. Like, I just feel bad.
You really should.
Sugar bread will do that.
Yeah, sugar bread will do that. One more thing I love this week, a wild stat from the World Cup. So, France now has more wins at Gillette Stadium where the Patriots play this World Cup alone, because obviously when else is France playing there, than the Jets do since 2011. Shout out to the New York Jets. The Jets, that number is 2, by the way. France has 2 wins. The Jets since 2011 at the Patriots are 1-14.
Your love is the Jets hate.
Yeah, yeah. My love is that, yeah, it's the Jets hate.
Jets would
for
hate
sure.
this, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely Jets hate. All right, Cam, what'd you love from sports?
You know, I know this is just preseason and might not mean much, but I really love the performance of the Rockets draft pick. Bruce Thornton.
Oh, Bruce Thornton.
Yeah, he looked really good against Denver. So.
Yeah, I don't know how much he'll play, but if he gets on the court, we know he can shoot the ball.
Yeah, I mean, 27 points. I think he was like 4 of 8 from 3. So I know it's just preseason, but he looked...
Well, even before that, it's Vegas Summer League.
He looked, yeah, he looked really good, so... Yeah.
All right, Johnny, what'd you love from sports?
My love was Zlatan bullying Alexi Lalas on Fox the entire tournament. What an awesome.
No one likes Alexi Lalas.
No, nobody does. And Zlatan's just a beast. And yeah. he just bullied him the whole time.
King of the jungle.
Yeah.
King of the jungle. I love, quick added onto that, I love when he updates his King of the Jungle rankings. Zlatan's always first.
Yes, he is.
And then the list starts at 2. Like, if it's Messi, Mbappe, whoever. The list starts at 2 because Zlatan, even though not playing and not active, he's still king of the jungle. All right, for Cam Smith, for John Belmer, I am Brian McDonough. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, also at this new time slot from 9 to 11. Have a great week in Houston. See ya.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are 2/4 of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us. No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.